All right, so I'm going to try to be Jeremy Jackson here and do all this. Bubba Wilson with the Sports Medicine Broadcast. I have Brett Singer, registered dietitian. Any other letters behind your name?
A lot. Yeah. MSRD, CSSD, LD.
Oh, Lord. Okay. Yeah. So he was talking about caffeine and sports performance, and since I was in here being interviewed, I readily admit that I did not get to listen to his talk, not by choice. So so caffeine is good for sports performance, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, so we talked about caffeine and sports performance and that it can potentially be very helpful for sports, different sports, right? So endurance sports, team sports, in some cases shorter endurance sports too, so like maybe cross country versus marathons and ultra marathons and Ironmans, definitely helpful for those. Team sports in some settings, it can be very helpful, but it's a little bit harder to study a team sport, right? It's easy to have someone get on a bike and ride as fast as they can for a research study, a little bit harder to put football players on a field and simulate the exact same game two games in a row to see when caffeine worked or if caffeine worked in one versus the other.
Right.
Right. So, but it has been helpful in certain team sports, rugby, soccer, volleyball, and a few others also. And then we see it in weightlifting maybe to an extent, not so much in one rep max, but also instead in more muscular endurance. So caffeine can be potentially beneficial.
What about in the healthcare profession? They live on caffeine, so it's got to be beneficial, right?
Yes. So part of the benefits of caffeine is it's what we call an adenosine antagonist. So it blocks the receptors of adenosine, and it kind of adenosine's role or one of its roles neurotransmitter wise is it makes you feel more fatigued, tired, sleepy, and caffeine blocks that. So it blocks the effects of it, and so you become more awake, more alert. So there is a potential benefit, if you're trying to stay awake on the job.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but the IOC, WADA, whichever it is, they test for caffeine levels in those athletes, don't they?
They used to, and I believe that has since been removed. They used to test
it's a Starbucks effect.
Well, and also partially how they did it was through urine tests, and that's not a very good effective way of measuring caffeine consumption because you could take in the same dose of caffeine and have wildly different amounts of urine production of caffeine. So okay. It was not a very accurate test to begin with.
All right. So since I readily admit to not being able to listen to your talk, we just talked about how it is can be beneficial in athletics. How much?
Right. Good. So this is kind of a multi-layered question or multi-layered answer is for if you were having caffeine before exercise, generally the recommendation is about 3 milligrams per kilogram. So the example I gave is 165-pound athlete is 75 kilograms. Okay, so if they are eating or consuming 3 milligrams per kilogram, that means about 220 milligrams or so, give or take, of caffeine, which would be about, I believe, 12 ounces of caffeine.
Okay.
Or 12 ounces of coffee, I'm sorry. And in later on in exercise. So what used to happen a while back ago, researchers kind of took note of the fact that endurance athletes, such as Ironmans, or ultra marathon runners would report that they'd consume Coke, right? Mm-hmm. Flattened Coke at the end of the race or near the end of the race, and they'd feel better and they'd perform better, right? And so
was that caffeine or sugar?
Right. So that's what they did. So they did a research study to basically test caffeine, sugar, and the combination of caffeine and sugar, and they wound up seeing that it was a bit of both, but more related to the caffeine itself. So later on in exercise, when you're fatigued, you can actually take in a lower dose of caffeine. So it's 1.5 milligrams per kilogram, which again, for the same athlete, it's 110 milligrams, okay, which would equate to less than a cup of coffee. So about 6 ounces of coffee, a Red Bull, or a mixture of items. So like it could be consuming Coke over a little while, so sipping on that periodically throughout the race, because caffeine stays in your blood for a while.
Okay.
Right? So it stays in there for about 3 to 5 hours before it starts to finally reduce the amount. And so in that sense, if you had, let's say, a sports gel or sports drink that has a small dose of caffeine, you can have a few of those over the course of the hour, a few hours, and that would basically be your small dose of caffeine to improve performance. And then even more so than that, so the other recommendation, right? So a lot of us are going to be working with high school athletes. For 13 to 18 years old, the recommendation is no more than 100 milligrams per day.
Yeah, okay, right.
Right. So the right. So I think it's important to try and I wanted to provide all the basic information on caffeine for athletic trainers, but I still felt like you need to know what's recommended versus
reality,
what's out there, yeah. Right? And so a lot of those energy drinks, Red Bull's one that's going to be a little bit less, so it's 80 milligrams. Sodas are typically 30, 40 milligrams or so, but coffee, you know, all those other types of energy drinks, a lot of those are going to be typically a little bit higher amounts of caffeine, so 200 or more milligrams. So, and then there's one last interesting tidbit as far as the amount. So there's only three studies that I know of that have done this. One was successful, two were not, but they've done what we call a caffeine mouth rinse. So you swish around a caffeinated beverage in your mouth, and the receptors in your mouth actually get that, or the sensory receptors in your mouth actually, it seems as though it's like you've consumed it. And you actually saw performance benefits from just swishing it around in your mouth without actually even consuming it. And the idea where that came from is we do have enough studies. We have plenty of studies on carbohydrate mouth rinses, which is the same idea. So you swish around a sports drink or something like that, and it's almost as though you actually consumed it without actually having to consume it. So you get some performance benefits from that.
Interesting. I know my wife one time went to the doctor for some medication. They said, take this with a Coke, with caffeine. It will actually help speed up the effects of this medicine. Because I don't know why.
Okay.
You know, interesting, though.
It could, and I don't know for sure. So I can't really speak on it too intelligently, but maybe it's possible that it pushes things through a little bit quicker somehow. I'm not positive, though.
Well, I guess it's raising your heart rate, therefore.
It can raise blood pressure. Sometimes it can drop heart rate in some in youth athletes. They've seen it drop heart rate for whatever reason. Higher levels will increase heart rate, but we've seen that's possible.
Well, I know I've cut back tremendously, except for days like this, but I know it's never been the one where if I drank a caffeinated beverage at 10 o'clock at night, I could still be asleep at 10:30.
Right.
I wasn't the guy that it kept awake all, 3 hours later.
Yeah, and we talked about tolerance levels. It really depends on the individual. You and I could probably do totally different amounts, and it would affect us completely differently.
Right.
But in terms of performance and in general, really there's no difference between, once we exceed 3 milligrams per kilogram, a lot of the initial studies were done with much higher doses, and there's really not much of a difference in terms of response. So you could give someone 3 milligrams per kilogram or 6 milligrams per kilogram, which would be, the difference would be a whole nother coffee.
Right.
And it may be no difference whatsoever in terms of performance. So once we exceed that amount, you really don't get much added benefit to it.
Right. From a physiological standpoint. Mentally they do because they're still drinking coffee. But. Okay. Y'all got anything?
Right, so they would drink like a flattened Red Bull or a flattened Coke, and there has caffeine in there, and there has sugar in there as well, and that's caffeine, and it's in a much lower dose than what's needed that you would need to consume if you were consuming it before. But because they're fatigued, there seems to be a smaller need in order to improve performance. Right. So the question would be, one is, how much Red Bull did they consume? So was it one, or was it a lot of one? Or what other things did they perhaps consume? So we're getting to the point where some sports beverages, like sports drinks, will have caffeine in them. Some sports gels, shot blocks, that sort of thing, will have caffeine in them as well. So were they consuming caffeinated sports performance products as well to go with that, and then Red Bull? Or did they have multiple Red Bulls? Or is it that they just had potentially they have more sensitivity to caffeine? Do they have any health issues that maybe they weren't aware of or that we weren't aware of? Because by no means do I suggest that people should sit there and drink Red Bull or lots and lots of caffeine all the time. But I think it's something that we need to be aware of because it does happen. So what's the amount that's actually appropriate or what would be recommended? is something that should be we should be knowledgeable on. They don't need a whole lot, and so. But at the same time, what I would always recommend is, you know, hopefully that individual had tested that out beforehand, right? So you're not going to play a football game for the first time in brand new cleats. You're going to test them out in warm-ups or practice or things like that. You're not going to do an Ironman triathlon on a bike for the very first time, hopefully. And you're not going to do, you know, sports beverages or energy drinks or coffee for the first time ever on the day of, you know, a race. You would always want to test that out and see how your body responds to it.
You know, you talk about how it affects everybody differently. I mean, like I said, I could drink something at 10 that's caffeinated and be asleep at 10:30, and some people can walk by the cup of coffee and start bouncing off the
right,
walls. I mean, it's just weird how that,
right.
You know.
There is individual tolerance, and it just depends. But yeah, the general recommendation is you typically shouldn't drink caffeine too late in the day. There's not a rule on exactly when, but typically not too late in the day, because then you tend to have a hard time sleeping. But I know you know, this is more anecdotal, of course, but you've got your case. My mother-in-law drinks coffee to put herself to sleep. That's
right.
What she drinks in the evening to
right.
go to sleep.
And it's not decaf.
That's different. No,
yeah.
No,
yeah.
No. That's not me. I'm not going to do that.
Right.
So, and I can fall asleep pretty easily, too, when I drink it. It's not, but that's not my habit to drink it right before I go to bed.
Right.
Do you know if tolerance levels fluctuate within the individual, and if that later then affects?
Right. Yeah, definitely it can. Sometimes it may take a little bit more for them, potentially. Or, I have not read enough on this, but they would do some studies where they'd have people take a break from caffeine for, like, not anything extended, but 2-3 days, and then have a caffeinated product and see a response. And so that's definitely possible, too. So if you were going to do a race and you are a heavy caffeine consumer and you wanted to see performance benefit, then you may get a better benefit by actually taking a break from caffeine altogether for a couple days and then consuming it. So I've seen some positive responses to that too, but at the same time, you know, I've not read a ton on that area of withdrawals from caffeine before consumption. Usually it's to most of the time, from my knowledge, it's usually a couple days. I've seen a week. Sometimes they'll do that because also sometimes what they're doing is a washout. So when they're doing a study and having the same group do the same activity twice, they're having them use caffeine 1 week and then no caffeine at all, and then a placebo the next week, or vice versa. So crossover design.
So for endurance athletes that you may work with or deal with, how often do you look at their blood levels and?
So I don't have access to that. So unless they go out and do it, so I can't personally. I don't think plasma caffeine is going to be anything that I need to pay too much of attention to unless they're going extremely excessive doses. No, it shouldn't have any impact on it. To me, it's going to be more related to how much are they consuming and what's their individual tolerance and their individual preference, right? Because everyone's different, and caffeine can definitely be effective, but it just depends on how you plan to use it and how you feel with it.
There would be some contraindications to recommend caffeine, maybe in those who have kidney.
Right. So if someone has,
it's a diuretic.
You know,
what are you talking about?
Yeah. So if someone, well, so here,
exactly.
Right.
Maybe they may not know.
Right. So, correct. So this is partially why in youth athletes we tend to not recommend it, in part just because we don't know. They don't typically tend to have much of a medical history, so we may not always know if they have some sort of sensitivity or potential issue with caffeine. In adults, definitely if there's certain health issues, and I didn't get too far into that area of things, but if there's certain health issues, then probably they shouldn't be drinking caffeine. And if they have a health issue, then that would be best to check with that physician that specializes in that area to make sure yes or no it's not appropriate. And to rebuttal to Bubba's comment, I specifically put it in there just to make sure. So there's three different review articles on caffeine and dehydration, and caffeine's not a significant diuretic. When we consume caffeine during exercise, no increase in urine production, no increase in sweating, no increase in heat intolerance or anything like that. If you have excessively large doses when you're not exercising, then that can increase urine production. But typically, and what would be recommended amounts shouldn't act as a diuretic.
You're burning out. You're getting enough of it out. Yeah.
So,
but that's a wives' tale you've got to combat all the time.
And that's something that we
that's why I said it. You know, right. I mean,
so the two big ones that I try to make sure that we hit on, and I'll hear it from physicians, athletic trainers, dietitians, just about anyone in the medical field, you'll hear caffeine's a diuretic, shouldn't have it. And I'll also hear about caffeine's main role is that it increases fat oxidation or breakdown of fat, and that's how we improve performance. That's not actually the case either. So a lot of the initial studies done in caffeine.
I could tell you that because I'm fat and I drank a lot of it. It didn't make me skinny. So
a lot of the initial studies would basically monitor caffeine consumption and how much fat they oxidize. And the idea being if we oxidize more fat, then we spare muscle glycogen, so carbohydrates, right? Mm-hmm. And if you spare muscle glycogen, you can go longer before you feel fatigued. But they do research studies and they find that, okay, in some cases, people would still improve performance with no increase in fat oxidation. With lower doses of caffeine, there seemed to be no increase in fat oxidation, and yet performance still improved. And then in some scenarios, you'd have shorter duration endurance races. So let's say a 30-minute race where glycogen depletion shouldn't really play a factor at all or a role at all.
Right.
And caffeine would still improve performance. So we found that caffeine's more of an effect on the central nervous system as opposed to increased fat oxidation, but you'll still see it. So weight loss supplements, fat burning supplements will typically have a lot of caffeine in them. And we'll hear, I've heard from our own physicians before that will say, burning more fat.
There's a ton of those myths. Women shouldn't lift weights. They're going to get big like a man. You can't,
right.
Naturally. So,
I tried to touch on those to make sure that we covered those particular, pieces of information.
Perfect. Anything else?
Clarify.
There you go.
Go ahead, sorry.
I just want to know if there's a difference between being like stagnant consuming caffeine and like performing an endurance race and consuming caffeine.
As far as like hydration or just in general? It's still going to have the same, it's still doing the same thing, but in terms of what you're trying to accomplish, it's you're trying to do different things, so it's still going to have the same effect overall. It's just different for what you're trying to do activity-wise, I suppose.
When I'm thinking like during physical activity, you're stressing your nervous system, and it affects your nervous system. When you're sitting there, you're not really doing much to your nervous system. So I would figure they would have like a different effect.
Right. So it's still a stimulatory effect in the sense that it's still blocking that fatigue. It's still making us feel less tired, less sleepy, etc., more awake, more alert. So this is what why they'll do military studies with caffeine and caffeinated gum, and they'll have military individuals who have been, not able to sleep for 24 hours or however long it may be, sleep-deprived state, and give them caffeine and see, and they're more alert, they're able to be more active, responsive, and all that in different areas.
And they are.
So, yeah. So they developed caffeinated gum specifically for military. Something they can chew out in the field.
Right. Just don't leave your wrapper. They'll know you were there. Anything else? All right. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
And don't ask me to tell you which version it is to find bread on this whole thing. That's going to be a Jeremy thing. There's something with his name in 2016 is about all I know.